I'm going to start out with Ron and just ask him, since he's had this opportunity to go to Cambodia, how has his perspective on missions changed?
Well, the biggest thing for me was we were able to put, you know, God's love into action, and I'll segue the whole Make a Difference Day. It was, you know, for us to Make a Difference 2 weeks. It was awesome being there, being with the folks, and just by being there, they were so appreciative of seeing us and us serving them. And that's the way we approached it. Well, I approached it that way. I was there to serve them. It's almost indescribable just, you know, seeing their faces, especially with that, you know, I'm a big kid, so just playing with the kids and just, if you can't, you know, like I said, you know, we went halfway around the world to serve them, and, you know, we have opportunities every single day to serve our sisters and brothers, and those that are not our sisters and brothers, and that's, you know, those are the ones that we do have to serve. They're the ones that we need to go out and touch and reach out to. So you could do it locally or globally. Okay, you want me to? You aren't really the mic. just do, you know, the Nike thing. Just do it. You can, you know, financing. That's, you know, that's a good way. You know, that's one way. And just putting your, you know, you let God use your body to say, you know what, I'm gonna. This is what I have to do, and just do it.
Thanks. I'm interested in seeing, I haven't seen these pictures yet either, kind of maybe what you were doing while you were over there, some of the projects you worked on. What are some of these pictures that we're seeing?
Okay. Right here, this is a picture of Billy actually helping, we're in the one, I forgot which village this was, I'm actually helping them dig a well. They kind of do like, they don't, like the typical drill with a drill bit. Actually, it was a hydro drill, which was actually really cool, very, very ingenious. Just get a little pond and actually just flushing the water out. And I think that one picture, that well, they were going down about 120 feet. Some of the other projects, we actually helped on two houses for two widows in two different villages. We helped finish on one house, and we actually helped get another one started. Building code is non-existent over there as it is here. But I mean, that was just a couple of things. Debbie actually with Treasures from the Heart helped with some of the crafts that they do, and I think Debbie's going to talk a little bit more about that. Actually, I have so many other pictures. I mean, you'll see us up on putting up the roof rafters, which Josh had a good time. Ron didn't have a good time with that. And other than that, you know, just playing with the kids was my biggest thing.
Thanks. Dave, why don't you go ahead and tell us about some of the Cambodian missionaries you met while you were there?
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple that we met, a couple of the missionaries, one was a lady named Laura. She's actually from Hawaii, and she's been in Cambodia for 8 years. And Laura is just an incredible person, just a very gentle, humble type person. And one thing that really stood out to me was, thinking back over it after the trip, was how important it is for us to be obedient to whatever God calls us to do. This lady left her home and her family, her children are grown, but she has grandchildren, and moved all the way to Cambodia, and has been ministering, and she began teaching English in a church there. And a young man came into the church, and the only reason he came at that point was to learn to speak English. He wasn't a Christian, but after Laura began sharing with him, and she realized that he wasn't a Christian, she gave him a Bible, and he's a very intelligent young man and very inquisitive, and he came back with lots of questions. And through Laura sharing with him, ministering to him, Pani accepted Christ as his Savior. And for those of you who don't know Pani yet or have never heard of him, he's just an incredible young man. And he's working with a ministry there called Kong Kamei, which is a ministry for children. And he is now reaching out all over Cambodia, ministering to children and to their families, and just making a huge impact. He's working with some of the pictures that you'll see are some of the Cambodian pastors that he's connected with, and he connects the Wine to Water Ministry, which digs wells for these villages. He's their connection to the villages, and it's just it was just an incredible thing to me to witness, if we're just obedient to whatever God calls us to do, how far-reaching that obedience can be.
All right, I have to ask, what was it that you were putting in your mouth just then?
It was multiple things. I mean, I don't know if everybody wants to know, but we had snake. Let's see, what else do we have? Tarantula, water bugs. Those were tasty. It looked like a big cockroach, but... what else do we have? Crickets. Yeah, crickets.
And the crickets, and there was the Tweety bird.
Oh, yeah, a little Tweety bird,
that
too. That was...
Well, Jeff, that's what I was getting ready to
ask. I wouldn't usually eat that, but it was kind of like a dare. I couldn't turn it down. So.
Maybe you can be on one of those dare shows. All right. Well, Josh, since you got the mic, Ron mentioned the widow that you all were working on the house for. Tell us a little bit more about her situation.
Oh, well, the lady we were working on that. Which one are you talking about?
The widow lady.
Okay, there's two different ones.
Two widow ladies. Well, whichever one you want to talk about.
Okay. Well, we didn't actually work on her house. That's actually something we'd really like to get done eventually.
Oh,
but,
that's what it was. Okay.
It was an older lady, and we were pretty sure she's a widow.
Yeah, she was a widow.
Yeah, she was a widow. Okay. Yeah, and she's an elderly lady, and she has absolutely nothing, but she lives in a house that's on the ground, which you don't want a house sitting on the ground out in the villages there because they flood. And she's taken in three orphans and taken care of them because she found one little girl in a garbage heap. Her parents had died of AIDS, and she was about 3 days old. Her parents, I don't know that both of them were dead at that point, but they both had AIDS, and they had abandoned her. And she was in a garbage heap, and the woman took her in, and is she a Christian? Do you know for sure? We never found that out for sure, but I mean, she has a very good heart, and it's just really touching to see that, you know, this lady had nothing, and she's given so much to these kids, and it's kind of humbling, too, because, I mean, I have so much, and yet I don't feel like I've given near as much as she's given of herself to these children. And but it's just a really good experience, and I hope to go back and hope we can get her a house that she can really take care of those kids. They called the house she lived in a cow house. It's like got the thatch and it has mud over it, and anytime it rains, the mud will wash away, and the cows will actually eat her house. So it's a really, really sad situation, but... So it was really, really one thing that touched me, and I hope we can go back and make a difference with her. So.
I heard a little bit about the Kunikamang, which is the street children ministry, and how about the Treasures from the Heart? We hear about that a lot, too, and I know you have some crafts for sale in the back. Do you want to tell them about those?
Yeah. Well, the Treasures from the Heart, it's actually an organization that helps families affected by AIDS, and mainly women. But they'll go in and they'll make these crafts that we have at the back table back there, and they'll sell them, and through that they're able to support their families and take care of their children. And school there isn't free. I mean, it's partially funded, but every day the children have to take a small amount of money to pay for their classes that day, and this enables them to send their children to school, which otherwise they wouldn't be able to go to school, and so they would be set up for a really hard life. But this ministry really helps them a lot, so, and they share Christ with them, and so it's a really good ministry.
Is there anything else you all wanted to share with everyone?
Go!
Yeah, you should take the time, you know, while you have a chance, while you're able, and do something like that. I mean, I'm still really young, so I mean, I still have a lot of years I could go, and I plan to, but you know, I mean. You know, you just should do it while you can, you know, because you never know when you won't have a chance to do something like this. So.
Okay, good point. Well, I just want to say thank you so much to them for given their time to go and the money. And thank you so much again for the money that you all gave to help them to be able to go. It was really wonderful, and they've made a big impact, and we're sure that it's going to continue in their absence with the missionary. So thank you so much.
Good to be back with you again. My name's Todd Felkel. For those of you that doesn't know me, that don't know me, I'm filling in for Bud again this morning. And we've been around here. Me and my wife have been going here for a few months now. So those of you that don't know me, I'd love to get to know you better. My wife just got back from a medical mission trip to the Philippines last February. And I can tell you that God did great things through her mission trip, and lives were changed, and she came back changed and different. And so I want to encourage you as well to continue to be a church that's on mission for God, telling other people about Jesus. I thought Stephen was going to steal my message a while ago. He was sharing some scripture, and then he was talking about holding on. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, to hold on, because we all have to go through struggles. No doubt there's a difficult time in our country right now with everything that's going on with the economy, and we've got to stay the course, and we've got to hold on and keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And I just want to encourage you this morning from God's Word and share an encouraging message with you this morning about staying power. When all the odds are stacked up against you and you're not sure what to do, what do you do? What do you do when you just don't know what to do? When times get tough and you feel like checking out, do you have staying power? When temptations come, when hardships arise, when you're insulted, when troubles come, do you have the power to stay by the stuff, to stay with God? When it seems like nothing's going right, how many of you there this morning maybe feel like, man, nothing's just going right in my life right now? When nothing's going right for you and your marriage seems to be going bad, or when your family's going bad, or when your job goes bad, when the economy goes bad, and maybe when you lose thousands of dollars. I talked with a couple of people this week that lost thousands, not only thousands, but tens of thousands of dollars. Money that they've saved for college education, for retiring, other things. What do you do? What do you do when things like that go bad? The question remains, will you stand for what is right? Will you remain a man, a real man, or a real woman? Or will you cave under the pressure? Will you fall apart? Will you cut out and run? When you don't have anything left to cash in, will you cash in the one thing you have left, your character? The essence of who you are. Well, you have the power to stay, to hold on, to stay the course. People, events, evil schemes, disasters, catastrophes can take things away from a person. But those are things on the outside. No one can take away from you what's on the inside. Heart, soul, character. A person can throw it all away in one decision, but no one can take it away from you. When things around you are taken away from you, what will happen on the inside? Where you live with yourself, will character survive? Shining out of our lives through the dark horror of grief and times of loss is what I believe to be a person's greatest strength. That shining light can be a person's highest attribute. Many call it patience. This morning I'm calling it staying power. A man or woman is defined not by what he owns, not by the size of your house, by the amount of investments you have, what you can perform or what you can achieve. A person is not defined by the people they may know in the community or the car they drive or by the people that they hang around with. A man, a woman is defined by who he is alone and naked before God. A person is defined by their commitments, their ability to stay by the stuff, to make and to keep promises. It is this staying power that makes and marks a man of God, a woman of God. What is staying power? It's endurance. It's remaining, persevering, holding fast, standing firm. It's not frenzied movement. Certainly not leaving your spouse or to abandon your family. Our communities and families are falling apart around us in our society today. We need men, women who stay and build. Stay and build a family. People who keep their word, no matter what the obstacles, despite the opposition, regardless of the pain it causes. We need men and women who are strong, stable, secure, and consistent throughout, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, for better and for worse. Sound familiar? That's the kind of commitment we ought to have. We'd all like to have that kind of character, right? Where can you find that kind of power, the power to stay, to keep on keeping on, especially in the tough times? I tell you where you find that kind of power from. You find it from God. You find it from Christ. You find it from His Word, the Bible. And we can learn a lesson about where to find that strength, where to find that staying power from someone named Shema. Have you ever heard of Shema? Raise your hand. Anybody ever heard of Shema? Okay, I saw one out there. He's in the Bible. Anybody else heard of Shema? Have you heard of him? Do you know who Shema is? Anybody? Okay, that's okay. If you don't, that's all right. You're going to get to know him this morning, all right? How about that? Okay? We're going to have a good time looking at the life of Shema this morning in the message and find out how can we have this kind of staying power that I'm talking about this morning. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 11 through 12. This is God's word. This is what God says about Shema. Next to him was Shema, son of Agi, the Hararite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them, but Shema took his stand in the middle of that field. He defended it, struck down the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory. You know what the word Shema literally means, what his name means? It means, I am here. That's what it means. I am present. God revealed himself in the Old Testament to God's people, to the Jewish people, as Jehovah Shema, the God who is here, who is present, the one who is not only here, but he's large and in charge, okay? And he wants to be in your life. He wants to be present in your life so he can build stability and endurance in your life. And God wants his spirit to be in you, so you can have that strength and endurance and power to remain and to be the man of God, the woman of God that he wants you to be. Everybody wants to make their mark in life. As we look back to Live Like You Were Dying, the campaign we just came through, which was awesome and great. And as we look forward to Make a Difference Day on Saturday, every day we can make a difference by living for God and living for Christ. And I want to show you a video clip right now. I'm going to call your attention to the screens. And I want to show you a movie clip about what I'm talking about this morning when I talk about staying power and being a person that's present and here.
I was here. I crossed this ocean. I walked this path. I lived this life. What did I leave behind? What evidence will future generations have of my existence? Empty rooms? Faded photographs? Dilapidated buildings? Dust and bones and chiseled stone. The scraps of self. The residue of life. The ripples fade and they come to nothing. A footprint, a census, a statistic. Ink drying on a death certificate, filed away and gone forever. But maybe a legacy isn't material. Maybe a person's impact can't be determined by a calculator. Maybe the ripples of our time on the earth, the love we show, the faith we share, the good we do, the people we help, maybe they go on forever. Maybe they multiply with time until a snowball becomes an avalanche, a drop becomes a flood, a spark, a fire, and a single voice, a tumult, roaring to the universe. But I walked this path. I lived this life. I was here.
I tell you what, Shema's the kind of man I want to be like. The kind of man that when times get tough with your family, that you're present. You know, there's a difference between being there and really being there. I mean, you can be present, but not present. Does that make sense? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe there physically, but emotionally or mentally, you've checked out. Don't be like that. Be the stability that your family needs. How do you get this kind of staying power? What does Shema do? What was it about Shema that what are the lessons that we can learn from him this morning about having staying power? Number one is become one of God's mighty warriors. Shema was one of King David's mighty men. And if you read the context of the passage of scripture we're using this morning, 2 Samuel 23, you'll find out that there was at least 30 to 37 mighty men of King David who fought by David's side. He was David's mighty men, and there was three that really stood out. And one of those three was Shema. He stood out in the crowd. And we see this morning one of the reasons why he did in this passage of scripture I shared with you. But, not many people had heard of Shema. And there's a good lesson to learn from that this morning. The reason I ask if anybody had heard of Shema, because maybe nobody's ever heard of you before. Maybe you feel like a person that's just lost in the crowd this morning, lacking meaning and purpose and direction in life, and you're looking for that. You're looking for that love, acceptance, meaning, and direction in life, and you just don't have it, and you're looking for that. Well, I want to share with you this morning that if you want to have that, you've got to sign up to be one of God's mighty warriors. You've got to join Team Jesus, okay, and be a part of the winning team, Team Jesus, and decide to be a Christian, to be a Christ follower, to follow Christ. I'm not talking about just becoming a church member, although that's part of it. I'm not talking about just getting wet and being baptized, although it includes that. I'm talking about fighting the good fight of faith that God has told us about in His Word. And I want to share with you another scripture. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, the Word of God says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." The Apostle Paul told young Timothy, Paul was like a father to Timothy, and he's telling Timothy like a father would a son, fight the good fight of faith. When we talk about fighting, I'm not talking about being a brute. Okay, there's a difference between a warrior and a brute, okay? You know, I think about Popeye and Brutus, okay? I think about them, and, you know, Popeye, I mean, he was strong, and, you know, he ate his spinach, and he was strong, and he fought for his woman, olive oil, right? And Brutus, he was just a brute, you know? He just came across as harsh, and, You know, he never could really win. And that's what happens when you're just a brute. And there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians who confess to follow Christ, but man, they come across as very harsh. They come across like a brute. And instead of attracting more people to Jesus, they just repel more people from Jesus. We don't need more brutes. We need people who are tender warriors. Men, women who have a heart for God. Maybe you feel like you're just the kind of woman who's shy and you just kind of sit back and you're just not that warrior type. That's okay. God likes to use all kinds of personalities. It doesn't matter what kind of personality you have. You know, Shema, you know, he was the son of AG. Anybody ever heard of AG? Never really heard of him? Son of AG, the Hararite. They were from Harar. In my study, I couldn't find where Harar was. Anybody know where Harar is? I don't know where that is. It don't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. God wants to use you. He's got a plan for your life. You've got a decision you've got to make today. If you're going to fight that good fight of faith that God has set before us. See, it's like a journey. And like every journey, it starts with one step. Have you taken that first step of faith this morning where you've committed your entire life to Jesus? I want to challenge you and encourage you this morning to look back on your life. Can you remember a time where you realized that you were once apart from Christ? You were going your own way. You were traveling your own journey. You were doing your own thing. You had your own purpose and plans. But one day, you crossed that line and you made that step of faith. Where are you this morning? I wonder how many of us here this morning, we've never really took that first step. Take that first step this morning. Why wait? You don't have to be perfect. Shema wasn't perfect. He had problems. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the Word of God says. There was only one perfect one. That's Jesus. He's the ultimate example of staying power. You see, we strive for perfection. We try to move towards Jesus and become more like Jesus. I've heard men, I've heard other women, I've heard people say, I just don't want to go to church until I get my heart right. Have you heard that one before? I've heard a lot of men use that. You know, their wives come to church, but they kind of hang back and they're like, you know, I don't want to be like those other people. And, you know, I want to make sure my heart's right. I want to be gung-ho. I want to be ready. And when I'm ready, then I'll go. But that's why we go to church. That's why we come to Christ just as we are. And when we come to Him, He takes that little bit of faith that we have. Maybe you don't feel like you don't have hardly any faith. Start where you are. Start with the little bit of faith you have. Give it to God. And God will reach down with His great big hand of grace and He'll pick up your little hand of faith and He will pick you up. And He will walk with you in life's journey and give you staying power. Take that step. The Word of God says to walk by faith. Take that first step of faith. Commit your life to Christ. I tell you what, if I've been a person who's come into Integrity Community Church for a while and I've never taken that first step on that journey that God set out before me, I'd get that connection card out this morning. I'd check it. My decision today, I'm committing my life to Christ. And not just committing my life to Christ. I'm going to continue with Christ. I'm going to get involved with what this church has to offer. I'm going to be a part of class 101, 201, 301, 401, 501. I want to be all that God wants me to be. I would get involved. I would do it. And I wouldn't let anything hold me back. Shema, he took a stand right there in the middle of his field. And he defended it. And we've got to run that race that God has marked out for us with perseverance. Not letting circumstance or critics lead us astray. We've got to move forward. You know, that next step after you commit your life to Christ is baptism. I think, you know, baptism is just a wonderful picture of letting people know what happened to us when we became Christians. It's an honor and privilege to identify yourself with Christ, saying, hey, family, friends, come see, I committed my life to Christ. This is what happened to me. I was once dead in my sin. But I was washed by the blood of Jesus and raised to walk in newness and life. And I want everybody to know I'm a follower of Jesus. Take that next step, man. You get involved in God's Word and learn God's Word more. You read it and learn it. That's how you fight the good fight. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. God's Word is Spirit. And we don't actually use swords and guns to fight with. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the bringing down of strongholds. And it involves the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and knowing God's Word. Getting involved in the classes like Integrity has to offer to teach you more about God's Word. And then taking that next step, and where we fight on our knees. We fight the good fight of faith on our knees. Praying. Talking to God like He is our best friend. I mean, that's who He is anyway, right? Jesus, who laid down His life for us. He wants to know everything about us, and He understands what we're going through. And you pray, and you know, the Word of God changes our mind. Prayer changes our heart. And then we get involved in serving. Get involved in the church and find your place of service. And get involved in things like make a difference Sunday. Just do something. It's called on-the-job training. You just got to get out there and plunge in. Dive in. It's a step of faith. Maybe you're waiting on somebody to ask you. We had somebody this morning did a real good job asking all of us, we need you. God needed Shema that day. He took his stand. God needs you. Are you going to take your stand? We need more people to go to Cambodia, other parts of the world, right here in our community and around the world, and be on mission for God. No matter the hardships, no matter the struggles, no matter the cost. And then one day, woo, yeah, praise God. It'll be all worth it when we die. And to be absent from the body, we'll be present with the Lord. And one look at Jesus' face, it'll be all worth it, what you went through on life's journey of faith, fighting that good fight of faith. Right? Become one of God's mighty warriors. Number two, defend your pea patch. We know that that field full of lentils, you know what lentils are? They're actually peas. Shema was defending his garden. He had a pea patch. Now that might seem insignificant to some, and that might not make sense to many people, and it might have not been very important to the Israelites that day, but I tell you what, it was important to God. It was important to King David. It was important to Shema. It was important to all the people of Israel. You know why? Because peas and the lentils was a very important source of food to all the people. And the Philistines would have took over that pea patch. Who knows? Maybe the Israelites would have starved to death. Yeah, man. Some good soup. That's right. So, what is your pea patch? We've got to defend our pea patch. Some of us have left our pea patch. Left it. Because the Philistines banded together. And just like the Philistines banded together that day, and it says, all of Israel fled away. And a lot of us, we've been like, we followed the crowd. We fled away. We got scared. We fled away. We ran away. Instead of having staying power, we ran. There's a lot of men running today. There's a lot of women running today, running away from responsibility, from commitment. Don't run away. Stay. Have the power to stay. Become one of God's mighty warriors. Defend your pea patch. Stand where God wants you to stand. Maybe you don't feel like you have a pea patch to defend. You're wondering, well, I wonder what my pea patch is. I just don't have a pea patch. I tell you what. Me and my family, my wife, Christy, and my three girls, Hannah, Caitlin, and Jessica, I tell you, the pea patch I try to defend, it's basically two pea patches. It's my family and God's family. I want to give all my time and money and resources. I want to give everything I am to my family and to God's family. You've got a pea patch this morning. You can join up with this pea patch right here and defend this family right here, this local family. We need more people who, in the family of God, who are willing to defend their family. Take the initiative. Take that step and defend your pea patch. What is your pea patch? It could be a worthy cause, an assignment. I tell you what, there's a lot of places that are under attack. There's a lot of pea patches in our communities today that are under attack, like marriages. Marriages are under attack. Families are under attack. Public schools are under attack. Our pastors are under attack. Our churches are under attack. Our places of work can be under attack. Our country is under attack. We need to defend. Our community is under attack today. There's some battles that only men are going to win. There's some battles that only women are going to win. There's no little people in God's kingdom. There's no insignificant people in God's kingdom. There's no second-class citizens. We're interdependent on one another and dependent on God. This independent stuff, no. This individual, independent type stuff where you'll be all right, you can deal with it on your own. You know, thank God for ministries like Celebrate Recovery, where people can come together. When I hear about that, I'm like, that's what it's all about. People coming together, helping one another recover from habits, hurts, and hang-ups, defending one another, defending their families, celebrating that. Interdependent on one another, dependent on God. What are some battles that maybe only women are going to win? I can name a couple this morning. How about pornography? Where are the women who are standing up and speaking up about how wrong that is? And how that makes women feel. Abortion. Women standing up. Coming alongside another woman that's been through it. Putting your arm around them. Praying for them. Being their friend. Helping them work through things like that. Who better to defend women that are going through things like that than a woman that's already been through it. And you've allowed God to heal you and to help you through that. Defend your PPAC. How about it, men? Who's going to step up to the plate? Who's going to be a real man? Defend your family. Leading the charge in your family as a husband, as a father. I tell you what, there's been a lot of absent fathers. They've been there, but they ain't been there. I know a good friend of mine. I think about him a lot, and he turned towards homosexuality. And I can tell you why he did. He had a great father, real good father. He's chairman of the deacons at his church. But he worked all the time. When he was there at home, he wasn't there. He checked out. So this young man, he grew up, knowing his father, but never really knowing his father. Father never really spending time with him, you know, taking him to the Home Depot when he goes to Home Depot and just watching his father, how he relates to other men, how he relates to other women. You know, we need to spend time with our children. We've got to stay. I believe homosexuality is a war, is a battle that we're going to have to fight. It's only going to be won by other men teaching other men how to be men. We got to defend our peace patches, and we've got to fight these battles of faith. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Do you have a worthy cause you are willing to live and die for? Is there anything in your life you're willing to die for? Whew. Just do something. Are there any worthy causes that you're willing to give your time, your money, your resources to? It's so easy to go through life and never give of yourself to anyone or anything. How would you like to be remembered by your family and friends? I believe you need to give every year, every month, every week, every day maybe, to something greater than yourself. Encourage others to give to that same worthy cause. You can't give everything. You can't meet the needs of everybody, but you can give something. You can meet the needs of some. You can make a difference. Don't be a critic. Do your part to make a difference. Theodore Roosevelt, who was the president that led this country to finishing the building of the Panama Canal. Many men's lives were lost because of building that canal. But listen to this awesome quote by Theodore Roosevelt. It's not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error or shortcoming. But who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, and spends himself for a worthy cause? Who at the least knows in the end the triumph of high achievement? And who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat. Become one of God's mighty warriors. Defend your pea patch and expect God to bring victory in your life. When you're going through tough times, do you believe God to bring victory in your life? Are you expecting Him to bring victory in your life? Who brought the victory that day? Was it Shema? No, it was the Lord. The Word of God says the Lord brought back a great victory that day. Another place in Scripture where there was a triple threat against the armies of Israel. There were three other enemy armies that came against them, and they thought they were surely going to die, but the people of Israel, they fasted and they prayed and they praised God and they looked up to God. They didn't know what to do, but they looked to the Lord. And the Word of God says this in 2 Chronicles 20:17, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Get out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. How many of you know that if you just pray about some of the problems you're going through, that you won't even have to fight them? God will take care of them anyway. He'll just take care of them. Now, there's some fights, like Shema, that we've got to do our part. And there's some things that God might ask us to do. Other times, we can pray and just trust God and just stand. And God will just take care of it. We do our part, God does His part. And He brings a great victory in your life. You've got to expect and believe God for that. Trust in God to do it. Anticipate God to do it. Rely on God to do it. Depend on God to do it. Believe in God to do it. Have assurance knowing that God will bring victory in your life over that sin that you've struggled with for so long, over those temptations and hardships and troubles and trials and storms, whatever you may be going through right now. Expect God to bring victory in your life one day. There's been things in my life I'm like, will I ever find victory through this? And I can look back on my life and I look back and I'm like, thank you, God, that you got me through. God can do it. Is victory possible in your life? All things are possible for him who believes God. Number four, understand that the heart of staying power is sacrifice. But Shema took his stand in the middle of the field. The Philistines banded together. All Israel fled, but Shema stood in the middle of his field. He made a sacrifice. He didn't know if he was going to live or if he was going to die. But he had an assignment from the king. And his people, his nation, his king, their lives depended on him standing. Thank God that Shema stood that day. It affected the lives of many others. If you don't stand where you are today, where God has placed you, people will suffer. Be that person that stands. Be willing to make the sacrifices. We are most like Christ when we're willing to sacrifice in order to help others. That's when we're most like Christ. We need to sacrifice some time this Saturday and be a part of Make a Difference. We need to sacrifice in difficult financial times and remain obedient to the Lord in our giving and doing what is right so God's kingdom can move forward. We've got to sacrifice our resources and who we are and just our time and friendships and relationships and just love and forgive and be who God wants us to be. That's what God wants. For the ultimate example of staying power, all we have to do is take a real good look at Jesus on the cross. He stayed on that cross. Jesus willingly gave up his life. Jesus chose to sacrifice his body for the world and for you. Nobody took Jesus' life away from him. He willingly gave it up. How many of you know that Jesus could have called down a million angels if he wanted to rescue him from that bloody cross? What kept Jesus on that cross? It wasn't just the nails. It was love. Love for you, love for me. And if Jesus stayed on the cross for me and for you, then I can sacrifice and do what it takes to make a difference for Christ right here, right now, today, and every day in my family, no matter what life brings. What are you going to sacrifice? What can you sacrifice? We need to give up some things. We need to sacrifice some things for the cause of Christ. Giving of yourself up for the good of another. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, I pray that each and every one of us would seriously consider the words of this message this morning. And God, that we would take that stand for you. Even when others run away, God, I pray that we would stand firm in the faith, that we'd fight the good fight of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Thank you all for listening this morning. And I hope this message has been an encouragement to you to stand for Jesus, to flex your muscles a little bit,
right.
You know, flex your muscles, you know, and before you fight a good fight, a lot of people like to flex their muscles, say, watch out, here it comes. And that's what I feel like Integrity is going to do this week at Make a Difference Saturday. We're going to flex our muscles a little bit. We're going to show the community we got muscle.
Yeah.
We know how to fight. We're going to make a difference, right? Okay? And we don't do it for people, hey, look at Integrity, look at us. No, we let our light so shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. May he receive all glory and honor and praise, right?
Amen.
All right, let's make a difference. God bless you. Have a great day. Great week. Don't forget your commitment cards. Put them in your offerings as you leave this morning.
And taste sweet, victory.